Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your presence. God, your presence is more than life to us. And so we thank you that the first gift you ever gave us was your presence. And so as we incline our ears and open our hearts, Father, I pray that you would give us an ear to hear what your Spirit is saying to the church this morning. We bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. It's such a pleasure and a privilege to be before you this morning. I, of course, want to acknowledge our senior pastors in their absence. Pastors Benjamin and Sonny Robinson are in Hong Kong right now ministering. And they are actually blessing Solomon's Porch. Many of you who went to our lineage retreat will remember Pastor Sam Song, who blessed us so much. So now our pastors are returning a favor. Amen. So they are ministering right now. So please continue to keep them in your prayers as they continue to serve and pour out so selflessly. Also, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge my family. My family's here, my mom, my dad, my aunts. If you wouldn't mind standing up for a moment, my cousin, they all came this morning. I'm so blessed that all of you came to worship the Lord with us this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Really quickly, I'm going to commission all of you. All of you are ministers, just like that. All of you are ministers. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit has already anointed each one of you, so you don't have to worry about do you have the goods. You got the goods. So, with that being said, I want each one of you to find a neighbor close by. Find a neighbor close by. Someone, find a neighbor close by and give them a very big smile first. We got to loosen them up first. We got to loosen them up. Show them those pearly whites. All right, you guys ready now? All right, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
I have good news for you.
Are you ready for this?
This is not your fight.
Amen. Come on, let that sink in. Let that sink in. Come on, look at the neighbor to your right or to your left, the other neighbor. Tell them, neighbor. I have good news for you too.
This is not your fight.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. We thank him for his goodness. And I would ask each one of you to turn to 2 Chronicles. And we're going to start at the 20th chapter. Second Chronicles chapter 20. And when you have it, please say amen.
Amen.
All right. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in your affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you.
Amen.
I know that was a lot, but I wanted to try to give you guys the full story. Now, a little bit of historical context. In chapter 18, King Jehoshaphat allied himself to wicked King Ahab by marriage. Then he goes to war with him and barely escapes with his life. In chapter 19, he's confronted by the prophet and he repents, and he also charges his leaders to do the same. And so we started reading in chapter 20. Isn't it interesting that right after the children of God reserved to serve him wholeheartedly, an army assembles against them? I want to encourage each one of you, because it's very obvious that the enemy is attacking each one of us in a very similar way.
Yeah.
The enemy's main tactic against mankind is intimidation. That's the only, or that's his most powerful weapon against us. So the word of the Lord to each one of you, God is saying that each of us have reached the next step in our journey of faith.
Amen.
So it's not that you don't have faith, it's just that he wants to increase your faith in his ability to fight for you.
Amen.
Now our theme verse is 2 Chronicles 20, verse number 12. And that verse just jumps out at me because I love the last line where he says, "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you."
Amen.
And that hit me because I don't like that feeling. You agree, Caroline? Maybe we're the only two. But do any of you ever feel like that, not getting to that point where you don't know what to do? You don't feel strong at that point, do you? Oh, I'm not getting any amen, so this must be right on. Okay, yes, Lord. You spoke. I mean, think about it. Look at all the popular Marvel movies that come out. Why do we love them? Why? Because they're so powerful. They're so strong. There's no situation that they come against that they don't know what to do, or they don't have the gifting to come out victorious. Amen? You know, Dr. Kirby, he said something that really struck me. He said, "We must remember that his will never sends you where his grace will not keep you."
Amen.
And that is an encouragement right there, because all of us who are here in this local body, we've been sent. So we're not here just because we had a good idea. Like, hey, wouldn't it be good to have a church in Emeryville? That's not how this happened. How many were here from the beginning? A few of us remember the all-night prayer meetings. Come on. Some of us remember going to the city council and them telling us point blank to our face, "We do not want a church in Emeryville." Come on. Hey, that's our new Mary Leck right there from the city of Emeryville. She was there. She was in a lot of those meetings. But I just want to remind you this morning, this is not your fight.
Amen.
Now, quick question. What led the children of Israel to this current place? Now, ultimately, the children of Israel are in the promised land under the direction of the Lord. If you go to Exodus chapter 3, we'll remember the story of how God commissioned his people. All right, Exodus 3, when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, But the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egypt, out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land, from that land to a land good and large. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble reading. From that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. You get the idea. So the children of Israel are in this place because God sent them there. That should encourage some of you right there. You are facing what you're currently facing right now because God sent you there. You're on that job because God sent you there. That person that keeps calling you that you wish they would stop calling you, they're calling you because God is directing them to. I love that testimony Chanel gave. She said these children, they come to her, and many of them don't even believe in God, but something is drawing them. What could it possibly be? It's the Spirit of the Lord that is inside her. And I'm sure sometimes she wished they wouldn't come. Is that right? But God has called us to be ministers of his gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Second thing in this story I want to bring your attention to. They are challenged to go deeper in their walk with the Lord, and they obey. I kind of paraphrased in the beginning, chapter 19, where Jehoshaphat actually was confronted by the prophet, and the prophet gave him a very stern word of correction. And he listened, he obeyed, and he even charged all of his leaders to do the same. And the children of God, they obeyed. You know, I think many of us, we're at that place right now where God has put his finger on certain things in our lives.
Yeah.
And we've obeyed, we've turned. But then guess what? The next thing happens, the enemy comes against them like a flood. The word that came, the second word that came to me was thinking not strange.
Yeah.
All of us who have encountered so much, I think even this service, the enemy knew the word that was supposed to come across. And so those of us that were here way before most of you, we encountered so much backlash. So much backlash. Even this very week, my wife will testify, we've encountered so much backlash. And I know it's because the enemy wanted to stop this word to encourage the people of God. Whenever we resolve to obey God, rest assured, the enemy will come in like a flood. So don't be afraid. Don't let it throw you. Don't let it knock you off your equilibrium. If Jesus said, I told you this so that when it happened, you will know that I told you before to prepare you, then why do we get knocked off our equilibrium? Why do we allow that person on the job to say something that just turned our whole week? That shouldn't be for the people of God, amen?
Amen?
Next thing is, I love about Jehoshaphat is he reminded God of his promises. He reminded God of his promises, and he resolved to depend on him, to depend on God, not himself. That's the hard part, isn't it? When that person gets in your face, don't you just want to get them back? I mean, right? That feels so natural, right? But he resolved to depend on God. You know what I love about it too is it says the army that came against him was way bigger than necessary. Isn't that just like the enemy?
Yeah.
What did I tell you? His main tactic is intimidation.
Yeah.
It did not require those three armies to unite to beat the children of Israel. But why did the enemy use those three to intimidate them, to scare them, to make them stop, to make them not even try to fight? How many can relate to being attacked that way?
Amen.
Many this very week you've been attacked that way.
Amen.
But I want to encourage you, as David said, I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. For somebody, the word to you is don't take revenge. I'm just going to let that sink in. It is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. You know, it's actually like we're at the kind of like preteen stage of faith. You know, like after you've been saved for a while, God's giving you some victories, and then you come up against something that's just, it feels overwhelming. It feels insurmountable. And, you know, my wife and I, we have a 13-year-old now, pray for us. So she just kind of finished that preteen, now she's officially a teenager. And it's just so funny because I can actually see myself now in some of the things that she's doing. And so we'll tell her that it's your responsibility to clean the kitchen. And you can just see the wheels just turning when you tell her that. Like, really? All of this is my responsibility? All of it? And so she'd be like, just the sink, right? No, the table as well. Oh, the sink and the table? Oh, yeah, and the floor as well. Yeah, you got to sweep that too. And I remember as a kid telling my mom, when she told me to wash the dishes, I say, Mom, I get itchy when I have to wash the dishes. It doesn't feel right, Mom. And I'm thinking she's going to have compassion on me. Oh, that's all right, baby. You don't have to do that. I said, just keep doing it. It'll go away. And when we face these overwhelming circumstances, don't we cry to God like that? Like, Lord, just take this away. Just take it away. I don't want to have to deal with this person. I don't want to have to deal with this situation. And God said, just stand in faith, baby. I'll take it away. You know, some tests that we have to take are mandatory. In order to get promoted to the next grade, you have to take and pass the test. That's another thing we're working on with our 13-year-old. You got to study. You got to prepare.
Yeah.
Everything that we've told you in the past has been preparation for this moment right now.
Yeah.
And that's what the Lord is saying to us today. Many of us, this is not anything new. You've heard this word before.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that he's prepared you for up until this point is for this situation that feels overwhelming. But guess what? I have good news. This is not your fight.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Someone got that.
Good.
I want us to see how the story ends. Go to 2 Chronicles 20 once again, but this time we're going to start at verse number 13. All right, you there? Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came up. Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly, and he said, "Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle." Come on, say that again. You will not need to fight in this battle. "But position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Come on, we ought to be shouting right now. That is the word of the Lord to you. You will not have to fight this battle. But position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, I want to give one more example this week. My wife can attest. It's been, like I said, a trying week for us. And even specifically for her on her job. You know, how many people on their job, you have that one person that just doesn't want to see you do well? Oh, okay. Nobody in here. Okay, nobody in here. Y'all can't relate. Okay. But you may have heard of somebody that has that one person on the job that just doesn't want to see you do well. Well, my wife can relate to that. And so it was so funny. She was just coming home every day at her wit's end. Just like, I can't take another day of this. What is it with this person? Like, other people get promotions and they don't have a problem with it. But when it comes to her, it was just something inside them that just irked them. And they would try to sabotage and just get in the way and circumvent opportunities from coming to her. And so this week she would just come home just discouraged, despondent. And it was so funny. Initially, my thought was, man, Lord, we're stuck. We're in a tough situation. Like, this has been many years she's been fighting this battle. But then the next thought that came to me was like, wait a minute. Aren't I a good father? Aren't I a good father? And he reminded me, you being wicked, don't you desire good things for your children? How much more would I for my children? And so I, all of a sudden, faith rose up inside of me. You know what I told her? I said, one of two things is going to happen. I said, promotion is going to happen. It's either going to happen through this job, over this person, or God is going to move you to another place. But I know that the will of God is to promote you in this situation. Amen. He would not allow this situation to come if he didn't already equip you. Amen. Somebody take hold of that. Yes. He would not allow this situation to come if he did not already equip you. Amen. And his purpose is to promote you. But guess what? You're not even going to have to fight the battle. It's not your battle. Oh, let me give you the tail end of the story. So she tells me Friday, you won't believe it. Somebody pulled me aside and said, the head director pulled them aside and said, I specifically want you to grab Chinwei and train her for this position because I believe she would be great for this position. Come on. That's how that guy works. She didn't do anything but turn her face to God like Jehoshaphat did. In conclusion, I believe God is calling us to repent.
Amen.
But I know that that word repent is kind of a scary word. We don't really like that word. So let me help you. Actually, repent just means to think differently.
Amen.
You got that? Think differently. So in other words, what is God saying about my current situation? Okay, this is what you're saying. I'm going to agree with you. I think differently. So let me ask you a question. What situation are you facing that you're tempted to take into your own hands? But God is saying, let me fight that battle. Some of you, you know right off the bat, you walked in here with that thing heavy on your mind. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's a situation at work like my wife is dealing with. Maybe it's a financial struggle. And you're tempted to take things into your own hands, but the word of the Lord is coming to us today and saying, this is not your battle. You know, if you continue reading down, the rest of chapter 20, they actually did have to fight that battle. And as a matter of fact, this is the part I love, they were able to just walk down and pick up the plunder. Come on. They did not have to fight the battle, but they were positioned, you follow me, to just walk down and pick up the plunder. Whatever that situation you're facing, God wants to give you plunder. He wants to give you plunder. He wants to promote you. He wants to promote you. You know, Pastor Benjamin is very good at shedding, you know, historical insight. And one thing he shared that really sticks with me is that children of Israel kind of had an inferiority complex.
Yeah.
You guys know what they did for a living, right?
Oh, you don't?
They were shepherds.
Yeah.
Shepherds were kind of looked down upon. They were like, you know, if you're standing in the executive washroom and they ask you what you do for a living, you don't want to say shepherd. You know what I mean? Like, they're like kind of get away from you. Because not only was that a job that was detestable, they just thought those people were detestable. And you know, we're living in a day and time where it's very unpopular to be a Christian. I mean, a real Christian. Not the one that says they're a Christian, but you know, you let the curse words fly while you're at work, and so they feel like you're just like them. Oh, I'm sorry. That must be another church, my bad. And oftentimes we can feel inferior when we're around especially more successful people than us. And so the children of Israel had an inferiority complex. And so as you read through the Old Testament, the Lord is constantly breaking that off of them. He's constantly breaking that off of them. They're constantly in battle, and he's always giving them plunder. Why is he giving them plunder? Because he wants to lift that inferiority complex off of them. And for many of us, it feels like we have to go after battle, after battle, after battle. And if you're not careful, your perspective will be, Lord, not another battle. Not again. Why do I have to work so hard? Let's flip that around and say, oh, okay. God, this is an opportunity for plunder.
Yeah.
You want to promote me. And the best part about it is, it's not my battle.
Amen.
I don't have to fight it.
Yeah.
All I have to do is position myself and see the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, this week, I want to challenge each one of us. I want you to take a bold step of faith and pick a brother or sister that you trust. And I want you to proclaim to them and get very specific and say, in this situation, I'm not going to have to fight this battle. The Lord is going to fight on my behalf. Now, that's a very scary statement. Let me put that out there. I already know some of you don't want to do it. But there's a reason why I'm asking you to do that. Because with two people, there's support and accountability.
Amen.
If you just struggle on your own, the enemy will beat you up. How many testify that they've done that?
Yes.
But if you tell a brother or sister, you know what? This is an overwhelming situation I'm facing, but I believe the word of the Lord, and he said that he's going to fight this battle for me. You know what that brother or sister is going to do? They're going to pray for you.
Yeah.
They're going to encourage you. And when you want to fight it and take it into your own hands, they're going to tell you, remember what you told me. Remember what you said to me, that the Lord was going to fight this battle on your behalf. So can we do that? Can we respond to the word of the Lord? You know, we get so many powerful messages across this platform. And let's be honest, most of it we forget as soon as we leave. But if we can take this next step and practically ask a brother or sister to support us in our walk with the Lord, how much more victory, how much more plunder would each one of us walk in here with every Sunday? Amen?
Amen.
I want to leave you with this. In Matthew 18, verse 19, or actually 18, we'll start at 18. Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. So not only is it me, but Jesus is commissioning us. to bear one another's burdens. You don't have to struggle it out on your own. And I know many times when we take steps of faith, it's guaranteed the enemy is going to attack, just like we read in the story. It's guaranteed the enemy is going to try to discourage you. But let's bind together. Can we lock arms? Can we bind together? Can we share with one another? Can we bear one another's burdens and have a vision of plunder for each other? Sometimes I don't have enough faith on my own, but you can speak faith into me, and you can lift me to where the Father wants us to be. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you so much for your word. Your word has lifted us today, God.
Yes, Lord.
You have reminded us that this is not our battle.
Yes.
This is your battle. You will take vengeance. And not only that, God, but you desire to promote us. You desire to give us plunder. And so I pray that our eyes will not see the struggle, but that we will see the victory. Father, I pray that we will not get frustrated with the process, but we will lift our eyes to you throughout the process. Lord, we surrender our lives to you this day in a new and in a fresh way. I pray that even as we leave this place, your word would be sealed in our hearts, that we would take practical steps to trust you, to believe your word, not to take things into our own hands, but to allow you to fight for us. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this season in our lives. And with great faith, we look forward to the victory, to the plunder, to the promotion that you have for each one of us, because you're a good, good Father. We bless you in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
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 God bless you.